Hello and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance and me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And with us in the studio is Mark Oswald from ADM Investor Services. Mark, good to have you with us today. So at 9:30 this morning, we saw the retail figures out. Any surprises there?
Yeah, and the forecast was that we were going to have a bit of a setback, which would have been unremarkable from the fact that we actually had five consecutive months of gains and a couple of very strong ones. What we actually got in the end was a big minus 2% with a slight downward revision to November. However, I think what really needs to be noted is there was a massive drag from internet sales on the month, minus 5.3%. However, the proper perspective on that is they're still up 23% year on year, basically highlighting for everybody that what effectively has happened in what is a very volatile period of the year between November and March in the UK for retail sales numbers is we front-loaded some December sales into November thanks to Black Friday and Cyber Monday promotions. Is there anything to worry about consumer spending in the UK? Definitely not. The only thing I would say is because of the strength that we'd seen previously, people's assumptions about personal consumption contribution to Q4 GDP are probably going to be a little bit on the high side and need to be revised down. It'll still be a solid contribution, but we may not see the pickup in Q4 GDP that some people were expecting.
But considering the Brexit vote, aren't they quite encouraging? Because everybody was saying that people were going to stop spending because of the panic in
Brexit. I think what one has to take into account is these are volume numbers, i.e. they're inflation adjusted. 4.3% year on year is a very, very solid pace. The only concern is that we're also seeing at the same time a massive rise in unsecured lending here in the UK. That's unsecured lending growth in for the November data was running around something in the region of 10.5%. Now, that is something which is not sustainable and obviously could impinge on sales as we go through this year because we cannot keep that sort of pace of unsecured lending
wouldn't
going.
Wouldn't the whole thing be cured also by inflation going up? So,
as long as wages go up.
They won't, will they?
As long as wages go up. And at the moment, yes, they've ticked up a little bit, but we're still running at about 2.8%. And in real terms, UK wages are still roughly about 4 to 5%. Below where they were just before the global financial crisis. So still a lot of catching up to do.
Let's move on to the slides. So most popular in business and finance, older generation outspends millennials online and in stores. That's quite surprising. What do you think's behind that, Mark?
Well, I think that goes to do with the inequality that we've been talking about and the fact that a lot of younger people feel disenfranchised because the older generation were the beneficiaries of the golden times and therefore they have the money. Whereas the younger generation are, you know, in this age of inequality, difficulty in getting on the housing ladder, difficulty in actually securing, you know, well-paying jobs. So,
but isn't that ironic that the Brexit Trump voters are the older people, and the who actually have more, and the Remainers and the Obama people are the people who are actually. I mean, the whole thing is the other way around, isn't it?
Yes. See, I mean, it doesn't really make. I think in terms of the people who are the Trump voters, you have to distinguish them from the Brexit voters. There are two very, very different issues there, which drove those, even though they're being tied up as being trends in the Anglo-Saxon world. The Trump voters really are more about. I think a lot of it is just someone offering hope as opposed to this dour tale of there's going to be more austerity, things aren't going to be fantastic, which was the message which came across from Mrs. Clinton. Even if Mr. Trump doesn't actually deliver, and there's good reason to doubt it, at least he was selling a positive message. Mrs. Clinton was just basically saying, we're going to have more of the same.
The Western Spring. Well, so moving on, dollar will advance. Oh, we've gone past that one. So the Chinese fourth quarter GDP data up 1.7% Q on Q and 6.8% year on year released this morning was in line with expectations, but among the slowest rates since 1990. But I think with the Chinese, you have to remember that, you know, they were going from developing, they're not quite developed, but they certainly, they can't maintain the growth they've been seeing. It's just not possible.
Well, certainly not in percentage terms. Yeah. And we are talking about an economy which is, in dollar terms, an $11 trillion economy. You know, we shouldn't sort of ignore that. You can't actually run growth rates of much above where we are now in an $11 trillion economy without actually causing a car crash. Yeah. I think that's the perspective. It will naturally slow as the nominal size of the economy grows because it's so much more difficult. The 1 trillion from here is a lot more difficult than, say, 1 trillion on a 5 trillion economy. It's as simple as that.
Okay, next slide, because we're running out of time. Okay, so what's happening in the economic calendar? What should we really watch? Obviously, today we have the inauguration of Trump, as it says, US President Trump speaks. Zach, you like that? Anything else there we need to really keep our eye on?
Not really. I mean, the Canadian CPI data is interesting because it's a new set of core CPI readings, but no one's going to be paying attention. It is all about Mr. Trump this afternoon.
Okay, next slide. So we're looking at FX sentiment. Zach, you want to talk about gold?
Not really, actually. I suppose it's cooled off since gold rose about, I suppose, peak to trough about nearly $100. So the people have just taken their foot off the accelerator. They're 75% long before and now just down to 71. They are long of cable. Probably the most they get up to there is about 65, so they're pretty keen on that. And then on the other side of the table, 50-50 on dollar yen, which seems unbelievable, given that you would have thought people would have a strong view one way or the other. But that comes from being slightly bearish before, so maybe they're getting more on the bull tack. And then euro sterling, they've been almost all the way for the last 3-6 months, short, you know, being wanting to be short of that, and that's half worked. We're at the moment we're a bit more in the middle of the range.
I think on dollar yen, actually, the fact of the matter is a lot of people put a lot of bearish trades on, either buying yen to start the year, and then they got caught out when people started thinking maybe the Fed is going to go slightly more aggressively on rates and had to suddenly cover a lot of those short dollar, long yen positions.
Next slide. Trade of the day, what are we looking at there?
Well, I think the supermarkets, retail sales figures notwithstanding, supermarkets have actually been net winners of the last month or so, or the Christmas period, 2016-17, and that's shown on the daily chart there of Sainsbury's. I suppose it looks to me that there's a bit more, with the inflation on the horizon, that tends to be regarded as good for supermarkets.
I can remember talking to some people from Tesco's this time last year, and they were saying, when are we going to get some inflation? Because this deflation and this huge amount of competition is really doing our heads in. And so the pickup that we've seen in prices, thanks to higher input prices, is really benefiting them.
Next slide. Okay, so broker recommendations. So Halfords are doing well. That's off the back of their cycle sales, which is a big trend at the moment. What else are you seeing there?
People with death wishes in London wanting to ride around on bicycles. Yeah, sounds very sensible. No, actually, I chose that more just because Deutsche Bank is saying sell and Singer are saying buy. So just you take your choice there. Daily Mail, my favourite publication, is where I get my world view from, so I'm always keen on that. But I read last month there was a sum of parts valuation on Daily Mail of 900 pence from Liberum, and Citigroup are extolling the virtues of the company today. And then BT, I think, still continuing to recover from the post-Ofcom tussle with its Openreach broadband. So hopefully, I mean, the BT and Vodafone for the start of 2017 have been like the favoured catch-up stocks or recovery stocks.
Super. Zach, Mark, thank you. Mark Oswald there from ADMI Investor Services.